welcome to Global Journalist on KBIA. This is the program that says mid-Missourians, indeed many Americans, are interested in international news. I'm Stuart Lurie of the Missouri School of Journalism. For the past 4 months, we have focused in this program on just one story, the war on terrorism the United States is fighting with the help of allies spread around the world. From time to time, we have taken a break to focus on other stories, the continuing Middle Eastern crisis, the economic meltdown in Argentina, human rights in China, a crackdown on the press in Russia, the status of the global economy. Today, we're returning to the original format of this program. I've asked our guests to start the discussion by talking about what they see as the important news of interest for an international audience. With us are, in London, Sean O'Grady, a comment writer for the newspaper Independent. In Nairobi, Kenya, Rose Lucalo Owino, portal editor for Africa Online. And in New Delhi, India, T.R. Ramachandran, bureau chief and political editor of the Tribune. Welcome to all of you. And by the way, I'm coming to you today from Boonton, New Jersey, a suburb of New York City, where I am visiting during this semester break at the University of Missouri. Let's start in Africa, a part of the world that has not received a lot of attention in the American press recently. Rose Lucalo Owino, what do you think Americans should know about these days that is not getting much attention?
Well, I think that one of the issues that I think really deserves attention is the efforts that are being made towards peace in Sudan and Rwanda. Never before has there been this much momentum towards that goal. And the reality of war in Sudan in particular is that they've been at war for 40 years. It's destabilized almost the whole region. And yet so much potential exists once there is peace in that area. The other thing that I think deserves some attention is just the whole economy of the region. It suffered quite a lot in the fallout of the last few months after the events in the U.S. And there are efforts being made to redress this. There are efforts being made to look inwards and find our own strengths. Of course, the problem still exists, but I think the efforts that are being made deserve recognition and deserve attention and perhaps advice.
Yeah. Rose, you say that there is an effort at achieving some peace in the Sudan. I think the conventional wisdom here in the United States is that the ethnic conflict between the Muslims and the southern Sudanese has not abated. What's happening there? What kind of peace effort is going on?
Well, we've seen an increase in the number of meetings that are taking place, the number of meetings that are taking place between warlords, the number of meetings taking place between leaders within the region who are trying to lend their support to the effort and to mediate in the dialogue. And there have even been a little contact with the government itself and the rebels. So there is some movement, and I think it's pretty significant, even though the war has not ended, there is significant movement.
Yeah. Ron, let me ask you, is this getting any attention in India? Because it seems to me that there are some similarities between what is happening in Sudan and that it might have some impact on the situation in Kashmir.
Well, I'm afraid not, Professor, because the world's attention is on Afghanistan fighting terrorism, and India and Pakistan right now have troops massed along their border. The worry in South Asia and the major powers in the world is that there could be a fresh conflict between India and Pakistan. That is what is really hogging the news, and it's been so now since December 13th, when armed terrorists aided and abetted by Pakistan attacked the Parliament House in New Delhi. Nevertheless, since the standoff is not getting any worse, but nevertheless, the fact still remains that the tension is extremely high. But more importantly, as people are getting displaced from the border areas in Punjab and also Jammu and Kashmir, the government has decided to arm itself with additional powers to increase excise duty. This has attracted a lot of political criticism all over the country. And with the economy being on the downtrend, most people will have to bear the brunt of an increase on all the petrol products. I think this is one aspect which doesn't get reflected in any of the Western press or outside. And as you yourself mentioned, Professor, the problem in Sudan has really found no mention in the newspapers here, with the people in the country and the politicians involved as they are in an eyeball-to-eyeball contact with Pakistan.
So what you're saying is that tensions have not been alleviated at all in Kashmir, and that there is still extreme danger there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sean O'Grady, what do you see in Europe and in the United Kingdom as the important news these days?
Well, I think the most important thing that's happened in Europe since the beginning of the year, and this is of importance to Britain, is the launch of the new currency, the euro, which is a very big economic story, and arguably a political story as well, because it's, as many of the leaders have stressed, it's not just an economic issue, it's also a political issue. It's about the unification of Europe and so forth, which is a very long trend, and it's been a project that's been going on for half a century or so now. And this was a very, very important symbolic step forward when the euro notes and coins were introduced in many of the countries of the European Union, although in Britain they weren't, because we opted out of it on this occasion. But there was an enormous amount of interest in the development and in news from Europe about what's been going on. So that certainly dominated the sort of big economic stories. And the other things that we've had, I would have thought would be of no interest to American listeners or readers of newspapers, which is thuggish behavior by footballers or soccer players, as I think you might call them. And the railways have been on strike since beginning of the year in various parts of the country, which has been a bit miserable. And there's been some criticism about Mr. Blair's diplomacy abroad at a time when there are some quite difficult problems at home that some people think he ought to have been spending more time on. So that's what, I hope that doesn't sound too parochial, but that's what we've been concerned about on this side of the Atlantic.
Not at all. Concerning the euro, it has been a pretty successful introduction in Europe. Is there any chance that as a result of that, the British are going to take another look at the possibilities of joining?
Well, I think that the British are looking, so to speak, all the time at the possibilities of joining, because the debate isn't over and can't be until in this country we've had a referendum on it, and there's no word or no clear word from the government about when that may or may not, or even whether that will take place. So until that happens, the debate will continue. Sometimes it's more heated and more prominent in life than at other times, and with the introduction of the notes and coins on the other side of the English Channel at the beginning of the year, the profile of the issue has certainly gone up, and there's been a lot of discussion about it, but that's dying down a bit now.
Mm-hmm. It would be hard to imagine this world without the pound sterling.
But you might say it was impossible to imagine the world without the franc or the Deutsche Mark. Certainly the Deutsche Mark, what I thought, since the war. And now the Deutsche Mark is a matter of history, so that's certainly changed.
Mm-hmm. The pound, I imagine, is still an important currency in both Kenya and India. Rose?
Well, not very important still, but the dollar, of course, is gaining currency all over the world, and we're very much dollar-minded nowadays. But definitely, the pound, any changes in the pound affect what happens at home, and Britain is still one of our biggest trading partners, so definitely that's a big change.
Yeah, and Ram, has the story gotten much attention in India?
No, the euro really hasn't made that big an impact right now, because if you take the basket of currencies to which one looks at in the market over here, it's by and large the dollar, though the pound does have its importance again because it is one of the largest trading partners with India, and there's a lot of development assistance which comes into India from the United Kingdom. But overall, the euro hasn't made much of an impact, though the government on its part is trying to study it and link the euro also to the basket of currencies. Now, when that would be done is a matter of time, because I think right now entire attention is on Indo-Pak border, and the ante has been raised so high that one is waiting for probably international intervention. And in any case, the U.S. Secretary of State, General Colin Powell, is expected in South Asia from the 15th of this month. So he would be visiting India, Pakistan, as well as, you know, he'll be going to Tokyo for the meeting to discuss reconstruction of Afghanistan.
Yeah. Sean O'Grady mentioned that Tony Blair is in hot water at home because he is spending so much time taking part in international politics and negotiations. Blair, at the same time that he may be criticized at home, has been getting a lot of good press in the United States. How about in India and Kenya? Has he been prominent in the press there?
Very prominent in Kenya. I think anything towards peace in Kenya is very closely followed, because I think it's like a central subject at the moment. When we had the attacks in the U.S., it reminded us very much of the attacks of the U.S. on the U.S. embassy in Kenya in 1998. Mm-hmm. So anything towards peace is very, very central, and it's dominated our front pages and commentaries.
Yeah. American presidents very often like to spend more time worrying about international affairs and talking about international affairs than domestic, because they can have more impact internationally than they can domestically. Sean, does Tony Blair think the same way?
Well, I think that it mostly happens with British prime ministers when they're in a bit of trouble at home on the domestic front, and they do tend to turn to international jaunts and adventures to try and burnish their image a little bit and distract attention and make them look successful. And I remember a party political broadcast, what you call a political advertisement, that Mrs. Thatcher and the Tories ran some years ago, which consists entirely of a series of shots with her with world leaders, from Ronald Reagan to Gorbachev to Mitterrand, Nelson Mandela, anyone you can mention, all set to music, and that was supposed to impress us. Well, no doubt it did impress a lot of people, but you know, so I think that the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, does think it's important. He does feel as though there are some issues out there that have been neglected. For example, the whole question about the sort of global distribution of wealth and power is something that he wants to take on board. He particularly wants to take on board, and he mentioned this in his party conference speech, the problems in Africa, which he feels have been neglected for too long, and he's going to make a trip, going to visit a number of African countries at the end of the month, I think. And he certainly thinks that very much the point that in Afghanistan, for example, what the West did after 1989 to 1992, when we withdrew from the country and ignored it and neglected it, that was a very, very serious error of policy, which led to a vacuum, led to the Taliban, led to Al-Qaeda, and all the rest of it. So he does feel as though Britain has what he calls a pivotal role to play because of the membership of the UN, membership of the Security Council, membership of the Commonwealth, of the European Union, of historic and sentimental links around the world, issues of that nature. That's why he's doing the things he's doing at the moment. But you're perfectly right, he gets a lot of criticism. But I don't think it's because he thinks, maybe I said this before, that he thinks those things are more important. But I think he does think that Britain has a duty, if I can put it that way, to play a role, to play this pivotal role, and to try and help if the country can. And I think a lot of people do respect that, but they also think that there are problems at home and there are things going wrong on the domestic policy side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to take a break now. This is Global Journalist on KBIA. I'm Stuart Lurie. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Global Journalist. You may listen to this program again, make comments, or answer questions by going to www.globaljournalist.org or in Mid-Missouri by calling us at 573-882-9641. Rose, when you made your first comments a few minutes ago, you talked about peace negotiations in Rwanda. Rwanda, of course, was the site several years ago of a genocidal massacre. Is anything being done to ease the tensions between the two tribes that were in conflict there?
They've had a series of meetings in Arusha, again mediated by regional leaders. I think the best known of them is Nelson Mandela, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a continuing, it's like a continuing discussion, and the president is very often in Kenya, as the tribunal also in Arusha, the tribunal begins to actually convict people. I think many of the wounds and the healing process is beginning with that. It's beyond the talking. I think they haven't reached tangible agreement, but they are talking, and I think that's a step forward once they put down the arms.
Yeah, that is a story which I'm sorry to say has not received a lot of attention in the United States, and certainly as an important humanitarian issue, it should, not only in Africa, but in the United States and Europe and all over the world. How about, Ram, in India? Does that story get any attention there? And Sean, you contribute a little on that also, please.
Yeah, with your permission, if I may just go back and comment on what Sean had said a little while on Tony Blair. Well, he is seen in India, at least in India, as a Henry Kissinger of old, more than the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Basically, but some of his utterances have received criticism. I think because some politicians have read it out of context. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, whatever talks that he had with the Prime Minister, Mr. Vajpayee, has been very welcome to Indian politicians of all hues and shades, because he has very categorically come out saying that Pakistan should curb terrorism and that what the steps that they have taken is not enough. India expects much more, and that terrorism of any kind cannot be tolerated. If there are problems on Kashmir, it's better for both sides to sit and discuss and find a way out peacefully. I mean, that is one aspect of it. But I don't think at this point of time, New Delhi in any way can lower its guard or even, you know, speak about de-escalation on the borders, for the simple reason that that would send a very wrong signal to the people of Lad, to the people in the country who, after December 13, feel very strongly that India has been too patient for too long with Pakistan. So therefore, I think the government has before it a rather difficult task to sit across the table right now with Pakistan, because they have found nothing to really offer them that chance to de-escalate the tension. So I guess, you know, things will continue like this, and one will have to wait and see what General Musharraf in Pakistan has to offer to India in terms of reining in the terrorist outfits operating out of Pakistan when he is scheduled to announce a big plan to crack against what he calls extremist elements and sectarian elements in his own country.
Ram, with all due respect, I think what you've just shown us is that in all of our countries, we have our own local and regional interests, and that there is little interest around the world, not only in the United States, in stories that do not have a direct impact at home. And I mention that in terms of what Rose and I were just talking about concerning Rwanda and how Rwanda and other problems are being treated around the world. Sean, how about you? Do African stories get a lot of attention in the British press?
Well, there's one African story that is getting an enormous amount of attention in the British press at the moment, and I think we'll get more and more, and that's the situation in Zimbabwe, which has got some historic links with
right.
Great Britain, of course, because when it was Rhodesia, it was a colony of the United Kingdom, and in the 60s, under Ian Smith, it had this... The white regime there caused the British government a lot of trouble by declaring unilateral independence, and that didn't end until 1980, when it became a legitimately independent country under Robert Mugabe, who's still there. And the white farmers, the commercial farmers, who are being, some of them, persecuted by the Zimbabwe regime, have got historic links, not immediate links by any stretch, but going back some generations to the UK. They're not British in the sense that... You know, the people who live here in this country now are British. If their grandparents or their great-grandparents emigrated to Rhodesia many, many years ago, they don't regard themselves as British. But there is that link. And it does get a lot of coverage. And I think there's a great deal of concern in the country about the policy that Robert Mugabe is following, as there has been in other countries. But you know, there's been protests about this sort of policy being followed in other African countries. But Zimbabwe does loom large because of its history and because of the relationship it's had to the UK over the years, which has sometimes been a very tortured and difficult one, as well as a very close one in many respects. But the British government and the British people want the best for Zimbabwe. They want the violence to stop, and they want as much freedom and democracy as we have in our country to take place in Zimbabwe, and respect the right of Zimbabwe to forge its own destiny these days. There's no doubt about that. But we are concerned about some of the things that the president's been doing, which are very undemocratic. They look like they're in danger of not having free and fair elections with independent monitors. They looks like he's endangering the freedom of the press. There are a number of issues there which the British government and the British media have shown a good deal of interest in. Yeah. So that is certainly one. And I think when Tony Blair does, as I say, goes on his tour of Africa towards the end of this month, we will see a great deal more about it, and some of the issues that we know are affecting countries like South Africa, countries like Uganda, like the AIDS issue, for example. Mm-hmm. We know about that. Africa is actually a vast continent, many times bigger than Europe, and the issues and the problems facing people in Sierra Leone are very different to the ones facing them in the Gambia. They're different to the ones facing them in Nigeria, and as well as being very different to the ones facing people in Kenya or Botswana or South Africa, let alone, places like Morocco and Eritrea. You know, I mean, it's just a vast country of many, many different peoples with, many, many different cultures, and you can't generalize about it either.
That is certainly the case. Zimbabwe is one country that does get a lot of attention in the United States, and I think that it is because of all of the issues that you raised, the crackdown on the press, the poor economic situation, the poor medical situation,
yeah.
and of course what's happening to
the
white farmers there. Rose, does that draw a lot of attention in Kenya?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the developments in Zimbabwe are very keenly watched here. We have similarities in our history. We have similarities in our ties. And even though our development paths have not absolutely mimicked each other, they're very, very strong ties. And the whole issue of land, I think, is an issue that's very, very sensitive, even in Kenya. We don't have the same, it hasn't been managed in the same way. But it is a very, very sensitive issue, and it's very closely watched in Kenya. So there's sympathies over the issue of land, even though people disagree with the way President Mugabe has handled it.
Mm-hmm.
There is one other similarity, isn't there?
And that's a similarity in leadership between Mugabe and Daniel Arap Moi, in that they've both been in power for so long and are sort of fighting to hold on.
And they're good friends.
and, and good friends talk together and make decisions together, I guess.
Yes. Very often people, I mean, sometimes the decisions and the remarks that President Mugabe makes are so similar to what we've heard from our own president that, you know, they're questions. It's almost like they've been coaching each other.
Ram, what can you say about the government in India? Is Mr. Vajpayee in good shape politically?
Well, as of now, he is in extremely good shape politically because there is no opposition to him or there's no opposition coming together to displace him. And even if they were to come together, they don't really have the numbers in the House of the People to send the Vajpayee government packing. But if I may just go back to what you had said a little while ago, that regional interests, interests of the nations themselves, do have a bearing on events taking place outside that region. Well, I think, yes, everybody realizes that. And the overbearing opinion of all sections in the political firmament and outside is that if September 11th, the most unfortunate incident of September 11th hadn't happened in New York and Washington, the United States and the Western world may not have stood up and taken note of the menace called terrorism. There are differing points of opinion elsewhere, but at least that has finally brought round a coalition of international leaders and countries to fight this problem of terrorism. And India's basic complaint has been they've been raising this issue for several years, for more than 10 years, but it never got noticed anywhere at any level.
Rose, what do you think about what Ram just said?
Well, I think I agree with him totally. I mean, we're seeing calls from France on the authorities in Zambia to investigate the rigging in their elections. You know, the EU has made its position very clear on how what happened during the elections and all the misconduct that were recorded. Everybody's problem is becoming everybody else's problem. And I think there's growing realization of that. And I think in that context, while the British may criticize Tony Blair, we are very happy for what he's doing because we really, really do need global action. If the, you know, in order to solve problems everywhere, we're going to have to take to act globally.
Mm-hmm. Rose, I think that you have just had the last word in this program. We're out of time. Our guests today have been in India, T.R. Ramachandran, in Kenya, Rose Lucallo Owino, and in London, Sean O'Grady. Our director is Mary Furness, and our producer, Tian Bo Huang. For all, I'm Stuart Lurie. Global Journalist will be back next week.